Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the even more famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Hey, buddy. How's it going? Hey, I just saw this on the internets. Buffalo confirmed that the addition of 10 limited partners to their ownership group.
Okay.
All right. So that's the Bills right there. So that's 10 new investors. The Dolphins announced the sale of limited interest to Ares Management. So that's happened too. The Eagles sold 8% of the Eagles to two family investment groups. The valuation is $8.3 billion for the sale, which is for a portion of the team. Good God, that much. And the owner that has that, like if you're an owner that has it, you're like, I'm going to sell 5% of my team and you're getting billions of dollars off of it.
Yeah.
That's insane, man.
What the hell do you care about that 5%?
But yeah,
it'll
exactly.
Bring you more money.
The NFL, like they've discussed this for a while now. The approval
private
is going
equity,
through.
Yeah.
The Cowboys will never do that, right? Like Jerry Jones will never sell that much of his team.
See, I kind of think they will because I think that's a win-win situation that you can let some bigwig jump in and grab 10% of the team, and you're like, yeah, but in terms of voting shares and everything, you have no control.
But what happens whenever you get a coup and he starts buying from everybody?
But you just don't make that part of the team available. You can't.
You've sold one piece, you've opened yourself.
No, that is
yourself.
Not how business works at
Jerry
all.
Jerry cannot expose himself like
I don't
that.
Think Jerry will, but it'll be interesting when the three children take over.
Yeah.
I don't think will happen.
Sorry,
but
how many kids?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think the other ones have.
The three confirmed.
I didn't hear you. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I think he has three kids that will get, like, in the will.
Gotcha.
Will get the control of the Dallas Cowboys. And then maybe, I don't know, 20 years from now, maybe the three kids would decide to sell 10% of the team. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So I just thought I'd throw that out there as it's happening right now. And that seems like a lot of money and a lot of other faces getting involved in the NFL. That's got to be a thing, right? We'll discuss it.
No.
Point.
What is your...
Like, that's got to be a thing where you have 32 owners. And I'm sure there are other board members and other groups that own it. But they're like, more people have to be like, hey, I want a piece of this. I want a piece of the NFL. Because it's continuing to go up in value.
Now, we're going to kick things off talking about some Rangers. Let's go to cut number 7 because this fine pitching gentleman is back.
Eovaldi ready. Here's the 1-2. And that's in there for a called third strike. A cutter comes across the outer half. And Eovaldi retires the side in order.
Now, there's a lot to get to here in terms of the Rangers are going to get a little bit of money from Major League Baseball. Obviously, we can talk about the Jake Berger deal, but I feel like we need to talk to start about the Nathan Eovaldi deal. 3 years, $75 million. He seems to have quickly become a beloved player here in the organization, if not entirely, at least in large part because of his utter domination in the 2023 postseason. I am glad Nathan Eovaldi is back. I will tell you, this is about as high as I would have wanted to go.
We talked about it yesterday. Yep. Without knowing that, it was sounding like Eovaldi was going to make a decision before this week was over. And he made the decision last night. And we talked about yesterday, 3 for $75 was like about at that number where you're like, I want him.
Yeah.
But it's like it gets close to that number on like, okay, I get it. If somebody offers more than 3 for $75, and we would have heard like today, he signed with the Red Sox for 3 years, $80 million. I would have gone, okay, I get it. It got over 25 mil and you do have to have a budget and you do have a limited budget. But 3 for $75 was kind of the stretch, the max. My son asked me this. hey, did we overpay for Nathan Eovaldi? That was what he asked me last night. And I said, no, we paid the premium market price.
That's a good way to put it. You didn't get a discount.
People, right? There were a lot of teams that wanted him that didn't want to do an 8-year Max Fried deal, that didn't get a Blake Snell and maybe didn't have the money to budget a Blake Snell into their rotation. And so you look at, well, what's the next level where we're doing a shorter-term deal on a guy who's been very consistent and we're trying to make the playoffs, and if we do make the playoffs, this dude loves playoff baseball.
He does.
He pitches his best in playoff baseball.
In case you forgot, 5-0 in 2023 over six starts with a 2.95 ERA.
And then the other thing, too, is one, it has to be about the production on the field. Everybody loves leadership. Everybody loves culture and chemistry. But it can't trump, what are you doing on the field?
Yeah.
Because I can get coaches. If I have a chemistry issue, I can try to get coaching staff that can help out with that. And I try to eliminate okay players with bad chemistry. But he is the leader of the pitching staff. He's the guy that is the captain, if you want to say. I won't say captain of the team. It's tough to be captain of the team from a pitching perspective, but he is the captain of the pitching staff, so you got your captain back, too.
Yeah, he's the guy that was buying rookies Rolexes, helping mentor young players as they were going to a World Series, and then on top of that, as they were going to the World Series, he was your best guy, the most reliable thing about it all.
He's tough to get an interview with because he goes down and watches all the bullpens.
Yeah, which, that's fine.
Thanks,
like,
man.
I like talking with Rangers players, but if he's doing stuff,
I'm busy
I get it.
Hard.
So, a quick kind of look at the early reactions, 877-881-1053, Franklin Franklin, injury attorney, text line. From the 903, I'm stoked Nate is coming back. That dude is a dog. From the 817, I think they overpaid. I actually do think that's a conversation that you can have. And then from the 214, updating the people, I-30 East is shut down by the police.
Oh, no.
I had no trouble when I was coming in. I didn't see either way, and I come up 30, but obviously that was a couple hours ago.
75 South is going 2 miles an hour, so I guess if you're trying to get to 30 from 75, you might want to find an alternate route.
I personally am not going to say the Rangers overpaid just because, man,
they're killing this guy.
They're showing that poor guy falling in the pool in the pond again.
Every day.
That is so hurtful. I don't think they overpaid, but I don't think it's a crazy statement to make because you do have concerns about wear and tear and about injuries and about him getting older. And maybe you feel great about it this season. How are you going to feel about that deal in 26 and 27? I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. I'm not going to say that, but this is at the high end of what I felt comfortable with.
I do not think, Mike, that he's going to pitch 30 games a year, and I don't expect that. Like, that's not an expectation I have for him. I do expect whenever it's time to be in the biggest moments, that dude is there and ready to go. And I think whenever he gets on the mound, you have the best chance of winning on that day. I told you Max Scherzer and some of these great pitchers, Clayton Kershaw, I didn't spend enough time sitting there watching their careers. Eovaldi, over the last 2 years now, it's been awesome to watch him pitch.
Yeah.
I will continue to appreciate whatever is left in his career while he's a Texas Ranger, because I know I'm getting somebody that's going out there Colby Lewis style. He's given everything he's gotten on every pitch.
He took over the role on May 1st, 2023 of the ace of the staff, or the best pitcher on the staff.
When DeGrom got hurt.
Yeah, and he's had to take that role on for his Ranger career. I think the hope is, and it better be, is that now he's the number two pitcher on your staff.
And he can be the, like, maybe emotional leader, but he can be the emotional leader in the number two spot where Jacob DeGrom's like, hey, you don't got to fire people up, but you're the number one and you're kicking it.
Yeah, and then here's also the hope. In year three, he's more of a, and I hope he's still great. You're hoping that he's in more of the backer end of your rotation because a guy like Kamar Rocker over the next 2 years has stepped up and you're like, this dude's an all-star.
Yeah.
So, like, you just look at it, and you're hoping you get 3 years out of DeGrom. I know that's a big hope, but I do like this signing. And if you look at the marketplace, if you look at Blake Snell, if you look at Max Fried, if you look what guys are getting, if you look at Luis Severino, the Athletics gave him 3 years and $67 million. So if you look at Severino and say, I would have rather had Severino, I think that's a good discussion and debate. But guys like Nathan Eovaldi, guys like Severino, Kikuchi, they're getting 3 for 60, 3 for 75, yep, in that range. So he got the top end of that range, but not much more than the guys that were signing for 3 for 63, 3 for 67.
Now, an interesting note that we talked about when you're talking about money things with the Rangers is Major League Baseball is going to be sending out payments to teams across the league who lost media revenue. Obviously, the primary source you think of is the Diamond Sports Group problem and everything like that. The Diamondbacks, Guardians, Rockies, Astros, Pirates, Padres, Mariners, Twins, and Rangers, I know, are all part of that group. I don't know how much bigger it is than that, but Major League Baseball is going to take approximately $75 million total and distribute it among the teams depending on the amount of money they lost. And the most money that you're going to get is up to $15 million. Now, that doesn't change.
Why would they agree to that?
Probably because teams are bitching about it.
And did MLB have something to do with the, hey,
yes,
pursue regional sports, yes, on your own? And they're like, now we're screwed. Thanks a lot. And they're like, okay, I guess we got to help you.
That is exactly what I think happened.
Government bailout.
And so a little bit, yeah, I mean, if, yeah, MLB is the government in this case, I'm not saying it's going to change the, like, the tax thresholds or anything like that. But if you're just wondering, could the Rangers be getting about like $7 or $8 million? It does kind of seem like that's the way it's going to go because of some of the rights fees that they lost. So just a note that I thought was intriguing.
Good for Ray Davis. I don't know how much, to your point, I don't know how much it helps out the Texas Rangers, but going back to Eovaldi and the situation and maybe moving on to Berger, is this is a small window team. This is not a team that's building something towards the future. I hope it does, but if you look at where Bochy is in his life, if you look at where Seager and Semien and DeGrom and Eovaldi are in their career, I think you have a team that can win 90 games. Not yet. You've got to fix that bullpen. But you do have a small window for these guys to be premium valuable players on your team. And so for Ray Davis, he gets this extra money. I think, I don't know this, but I think he's going to stay under that luxury tax this year.
There's almost, right,
maybe if they're 45 and 20 to start the year and he's like, okay, screw it, I'm adding a piece because we are doing it again. This 25 season looks like 23 all over again. Maybe he goes, screw it, I'll pay the luxury tax and then take the major penalties again. But I think that this is going to still keep them under the tax, but you have a small window, and I like that you have Eovaldi. You made a couple other moves so far, too, that shows that they are trying their best with the budget they have to put a premium product on the field.
And that's where, and I know we got Nuggets, we could talk about it other places as well, that's where Jake Berger comes in, not only because of what he provides on the field, because he makes no money. In a baseball perspective, in a real world perspective,
he's doing great.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money. But in a baseball perspective, he's going to be sitting at $800,000. Then you have 3 years of arbitration. So this is a low money move.
Corey, you made a great point before the show about the Rangers had maybe a little bit of insight on who Jake Berger is as a person. You can look stats. You can go to Baseball Savant. You can do all of that, but
Scoony,
how is he going to fit in? And Corey, I'll let you make that point.
Yeah, Schumacher was Schumi. He was with the Miami Marlins, and this guy comes from the Miami Marlins. So this is a guy that knows who this guy is in the clubhouse as well. And I don't know if this is a future thing. We kind of discussed that. I don't know how long Bochy is going to be around. I don't know if it's a future thing or just, hey, this guy fits. Since Chris Young brought him over, they have that conversation. He's like, this guy fits. He gives you the power you're looking for. He's also fantastic in a clubhouse. I think those two things are big.
I'm going to now go to baseball. Are you guys surprised? The last three, since the lockout year, 22, 23, 24, and now this one, pretty much, are you guys surprised that we got Juan Soto, Max Fried, Blake Snell, Willie Adames? I know we didn't talk about some of these guys, but like Nathan Eovaldi, the Rangers trade for Jake Berger. Like, this is the last few years, I'm like, the winter meetings has really stunk. It feels like just a meeting for people to meet and for nothing to happen. And this feels kind of a little old school to me that the winter meetings caused a whole bunch of market moves.
And do you feel like the idea was, this is just the sense I get, everybody had their contingency plan if they did or did not get Soto among the big players. Yeah. And so I feel like the Yankees chatted with Max Fried's agent quite a bit, and they're like, hey, if for some reason we don't get Soto, here's what we're prepared to offer. And he's like, good to know. And so as soon as that, because that happened really quickly. Yeah. And so when that happened really quickly, that allows for all the trickle down.
And I'm also wondering this. Have the owners recovered from a COVID year and then a year where it was very limited seating in their building? So in a way, I'm not saying they lost money. I don't know each individual organization. But 20 and 21 were probably tough years on ownership that they weren't expecting in 2019. Sure. Then you have the lockout strike situation. And I'm like, have they recovered and they know their budgets a lot more so they can strike quicker?
I think that's possible. I really do. And plus, yeah.
A lot of bemoaning on the owner's part for a while, though, about how much money they're losing. And now they're...
Yeah, well...
Like, hey, we got it. We got
you
it.
Know
We're
what?
Good.
I will listen to that once they open up their books. Yeah. And they're like, I'll even take the funny set of books. You know, like business will be like... Well, yeah, I'll take the cooked books.
I just have an idea.
Yeah, just I want to see, like, how is it that you're spinning, that you're losing money, and are you not taking in valuation increases for the franchise or anything? I'll even take the fake set of books to look at if that's the best that we can do.